So we're up to what is, if you have the PDF, is in my volume, it's Perek Shmini, but more importantly for us, it's Michtav Shlishi. We started 2 weeks ago a series of three letters. And today, in fact, it's really each one in a certain sense stands on their own. But in this case, it's actually important to realize that this is the third letter, because as he mentions in the opening sentence or two, this is a follow-up to the first letter. If you recall, last week we dealt with taiva, sexual desire, but the week before, the first of the series of letters, he spoke about jealousy. And somebody, you know, basically his diagnosis, it really started off with the depression, with the lowercase d, and he basically diagnosed that depression comes from jealousy, and jealousy comes from insecurity. That's the short version of that first letter, which was really, really powerful. So he begins today's letter writing, you know, very specifically, that he sees that this person has been uplifted by the first letter that I wrote to you about kina. And now, all of a sudden, he says, going into the second line, Niftecha lefanecha haderech ketzel histakel ba'atzmacha. You understand better now how to look at yourself, your self-perception, your self-identity. Ketzel yaches el ma'aluscha v'chasor nascha. You know, you have a better sense of how to look at your strengths and your weaknesses. V'hine mevin mibein shuratecha ani ro'eh ki mechtavi tzarich hashlamah. Nevertheless, you're doing better. I'm happy to hear it. It's fantastic. But I see, based on, you know, reading in between the lines, that I need to fill in some of the gaps, that we still need to work on some of the issues. So he says, you're very, very powerful. You're on the way to finding yourself. And I would add that even though it's most obvious that teenagers and adolescents are trying to find themselves, I'm not sure there's an expiration date on that. And I find many, many people, I think I've mentioned this, maybe it was in that shiur, I don't remember, maybe in one of our shiurim, and I even came up as recently as yesterday, I think, in a conversation with somebody. There are all sorts of maladies which I would say are, you know, typical teenage challenges, insecurities, issues and pettiness and challenges. The only problem is you have middle-aged people who are still in high school. Not everyone graduated high school psychologically. So on the one hand, yes, it's true. If you're a teenager who he's writing to, you're on a self, you're on a journey. Who am I? My insecurities? Who am I really? But the reality is we all know some adults are happy with who they are and know who they are. And there are plenty of adults for whom this would be, unfortunately, just as relevant. So nevertheless, he says, what's one of the things you're having trouble with? Adayin machbid alecha hayachas, o choser hayachas el chavarecha. You're not sure how to figure out how to relate to other people, where you fit in. Again, it really is high school, but again, I in my mind's eye, I can imagine and can literally see multiple chevras in various communities that I know of and I've lived in, where you see, you know, people trying to figure out how they fit in. Are they the smart one? Are they the cool one? Are they the rich one? You know, am I the successful one? Am I the frum one? Am I the smart one? Everyone trying to figure out where they fit in their chevra. And some people really have a hard time with that. Hincha margish ki ter matzatim komcha ben chaverecha v'hincha sovel mizev. Says Rav Volbi, you haven't really found your place yet. You haven't figured out how you relate to people, how you fit in, and therefore you're suffering a little bit from that. Yesh bein chaverecha ke'ela asher hashifa l'hitbalei sholetet aleihem. And he focuses on one specific thing for the first, I guess, key point in today's piece. He says, the first time I read this, I was smiling because I can think of so many examples of this in my own life, both when I was younger and even as a teacher, as a rabbi. He says, in your chevra, you know there are certain people who want to stand out. Right? Isn't that so true? There's certain people that always need to be the loud one. They always need to be the one who's front and center. You know, again, I'm thinking in a yeshiva context. You know, you have a press conference or some big thing with a guest speaker. There's always some person who's got to be the first person to ask a question. You're having a tish. This is the person who's got to be, like, even before you finish the first song, I got to pick the second song. He's already going into narishkeit, little things. Right? But there's simonim of a personality that they need attention. Right? That's what he's saying. So he says, there are people like this in your chevra. You can diagnose people who need to stand out. They need the attention. And he says, appropriately and as a compliment, Nafshecha soledes mizeh ubetzedek. And you are repulsed by this. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be that guy. Right? Everyone knows that guy except for that guy who don't know himself. Right? But everyone, in any chevra you've ever been in, right, there's that person who's always, you know, doing that, and everyone, you know, without having needed to articulate it, thank God I'm not that guy. Right? Everyone laughs on the inside of that guy, right? So he says, you pull back from that, and you're right about that. Nevertheless, that doesn't mean that you know the proper balance. Aval, eichlit nahei. What's the proper balance? When do you step forward? When should you step back? How do you figure that out? Lolita rei b'chaya chevra. Should you totally be uninvolved? Vaday gamzein atzad anachon. Right. If one extreme is bad, the other extreme is also as bad, more bad, the same, less bad, but it's also bad. You don't want to totally withdraw. You don't want to be antisocial. That's not helpful. Hashifa l'hitbaltut novat mioto makor shemimenu novatakin. And this is the connection to that first letter. At the end of the day, whether it's jealousy or that need to stand out, the need for attention among your peers and your social chevra, they both come from the same source. And as I mentioned at the outset of today's shiur, what was his diagnosis in the first letter? Where does jealousy come from? If depression came from jealousy, where does jealousy come from? Insecurity, not knowing yourself, not being happy with yourself. He says the need to stand out, those people, it's the same rotten root. It's just manifesting itself in a different way. Sometimes it manifests itself in jealousy. Sometimes it manifests itself in the need to get attention and stand out. The person who needs to stand out, always needs attention, they haven't yet found themselves. No doubt, says Rabbi, that person has tremendous talents, tremendous things that really deserve respect, value he could contribute. He just doesn't know them yet. He hasn't found himself. He doesn't really know himself and the gifts that he has. And therefore, the way he manifests his insecurity is by the need for attention. He is totally dependent. Again, this is Mamish textbook definition of insecurity. His whole self-worth is dependent on other people. Bada'as acherim. What other people will say about him, what they'll think about him, if they'll praise him. Yachziku mimenu, ki acheras ein masha machzik oto. Either they, so to speak, carry him, but if not, there's not, he doesn't know how to carry himself. If they give him self-confidence, if they give him self-worth, because he stood out and he did something for the chevra, so then he feels good about himself. He can carry himself. But otherwise, he doesn't have the inner resources to carry himself, to have a certain level of psychological shlemus. So now that we've diagnosed the problem, what is his prescription for finding a healthy balance? Lu'umatze. On the other hand, what should be your way of looking at things? Not insecurity, i.e. that you need the value, you know, the value coming from the outside, that you need to be loved, valued, respected, and without that you feel nothing. But rather, he quotes from a very, very powerful Mishnah in the fifth parak of Maseches Idios, Ma'asecha yukarvucha, u'ma'asecha yirachukucha. That is to say, this was an unbelievable Mishnah. I don't know if you've ever learned Idios. Akavia, the famous Akavia, he's about to be in his deathbed, and he basically tells his son, even though I had various unique shitos, which you've probably followed, but the truth is that the majority of the rabbanim are against me. So he tells his son, you know, you should give up my shitos and follow the rabbin. So the son doesn't want to give them up. And then the son says, by the way, but dad, you know, before you die, could you kind of put a good word in with your friends, with the other chachamim, for me? Because I've been different. I've been on the outside. I've been following your shitos. Now you're going to be gone. How am I going to, like, stand? So the father says to his son, Ma'asecha, either you will stand on your own or you'll fall on your own. Ma'asecha. It's not going to be your last name. It's not going to be who your father is, who your father-in-law is. Ma'asecha, either they'll be makar of you, they'll bring you close, i.e. they're going to respect you based on your ma'asecha or your rachakucha. Or they're going to distance themselves from you, they're not going to respect you. Either way, it ain't going to be because who your father was and what your last name is or who your father-in-law was. It's going to be based on ma'asecha. Right? That's a Mishnah, an unbelievable Mishnah. So says Rav Albi, similarly, too, you have to realize, it's not about the chevra, it's about who you are. Be happy with yourself and find what's right to do, and memela, everything else will take care of itself. Asei betocha chevra, ma'ashetzarech la'asos, bibli litchashev klal imze mosif lucha kavod olo. Of course you shouldn't withdraw yourself from the crowd. And it could be very well, there are times where you need to be the one who steps forward. Each time there's a question, you need to try to evaluate, is this appropriate for me to be the one who comes forward? Should I be the one who volunteers? Should I be the one who's in the leader? Should I be the one who's up front? On its own merits, don't think about, well, what will other people then think of me because I did that? Azor Lechem, help other people. Upamakam sheish letet yad le'ezo avodah, if there's something that needs to get done, whether it's a davar katan or davar gadol, sham tia ben minadvim. Nothing wrong with you being the one who steps forward, with you being the one who tries to help, who volunteers. That could be totally appropriate. Right, in every crowd, again, this is not just the yeshiva high school. You're in a shul, you're in a community, you're in a neighborhood, it's a vad bais on your street, in your building. In every chaver, there has to be some people who do things. Right? And we all understand that's always going to be a smaller number of people. So sometimes it's just a rotation. Every year, you know, pull names out of a hat. Two new people are head of Vad Bayit. Every year, you know, it's a different person who's going to be in charge of the Kiddushes this year. You're on the Kiddush committee. Whatever the things are, it could be small, it could be big. Of course, you have to have your role. Of course, it's important to play your role. He gives an example, even in yeshiva, Bechaya, yeshiva, rabos, there's many hizdam nuyot, many opportunities, all sorts of shechim limnot, mimunim, ledvar mitzvim, all sorts of things that people have to do. So on the one hand, yes, if you can help, or if it's your turn, of course you should do it. Nevertheless, al tidchach et atzmacha l'minyan, but don't push yourself. Don't push that it should be you. Nevertheless, im yagia torchev, it's your turn. Aseh samutal alecha b'ritzinu d'mesirut. Then yes, take it seriously. Now why is it important? And he's not talking about, this is the mashkiach, Rav Volbi. What is he not saying? Learn. Just never take your head out of the Gemara. Let some other guy, let some other batlons, let some other people be the person, be the volunteer. You just learn. It's not what he was saying. Why? This is hugely important. And again, from the reverse, for us as parents or grandparents, because you have to learn to take achrayis. That's one of the key points in a person's neshama. You have to learn to take responsibility. If you're never doing anything for the klal, how do you learn to take? Then you're just a taker. Right? Being a giver, being one of those people who volunteers and does things for the tzibur, isn't just because it benefits the tzibur. It benefits you. It creates, right? You can't develop a sense of achrayus in the abstract. Right? It's very parallel to the famous idea that came up in one of the women's shurim I gave a few weeks ago, right? But the famous idea, Rav Dessler talks about it, Rav Hirsch talks about it, right? Ahava milashon hav. Right? You can't love in the abstract. Love comes from giving. It's also the result of giving. I'm sorry. It also causes giving, excuse me. But more, if you give, you will feel the connection. So here he's saying, if you will contribute to the community could be your six friends, your six dopey friends, you know, or it could be the big shul or the big city, or whatever the chever is. But that's how you'll develop achrayas. If you never do that, then there'll be a chisaron in who you are. Im zet tafkid al shmiras kol sidra. Nevertheless, you have to remember what's ikker. Whether it's a yeshiva guy, it's his learning, or there could be other things in your life, your own learning, your davening, 100%. It's a balance. Shlo tivatel otam b'shem ofen l'man ha-misra, ha-tziburit shelcha. Right? And this is classic. Again, you do find this sometimes in yeshiva. Right? There are certain people who are constantly running to do the volunteer thing, not because they need the attention, because it's an excuse not to learn. Instead of sitting over the Gemara and bottling and feeling bad about themselves, now they're in the kitchen preparing, you know, the tish for late Thursday night. So they still don't have to learn, which is what they really don't want to do, but they feel better about themselves. Now, I can tell you, as a Rebbe, sometimes that's actually a very healthy thing. Very, very healthy thing. Because there are certain guys who are just not cut out. They might be in a yeshiva in which you're supposed to learn 12 hours a day, but they're not cut out for that. So it's much better that they're doing these positive things and feeling good about themselves and contributing and only learning X amount of time than feeling bad about themselves and doing nothing. That's not what he's saying, that's what I'm saying. But his point is to a guy who can learn, that's not the issue. He's saying, and he's basically saying one thing, balance. Remember, at the moment, you're in yeshiva, or right now I'm a husband, I'm a father, I have certain things that are my primary responsibilities. Yes, I'm telling you, says Rav Volbi, you should be involved in the community, you should be doing things for your chevra, build your achrayas, but you have to realize there's also a balance. It can't come at the expense of your initial and primary responsibilities. It can't become an amatla, an excuse for bitul ha'avoda atzmit, for the main, right? Remember to keep the main thing. First, you're a father. First, you have your own responsibilities. But, whether it's in yeshiva or in adulthood, there has to be a place in proper balance for community involvement and support. But if you just run and just do for other people, even if they're important, then it's not worth it. The downside is much more than the upside. You empty right. You empty yourself of all the real meaningful things, And you become satisfied with even just Narishkeit and Kleinigkeit and Notelet Tochen Ritzini, which are lacking real substance. So, yeah, none of this is expense at the learning, at Yadavening, at being a good husband and a good father. Of course, those are your primary things. But there are other things that every person in any chevra has to feel a responsibility for, and at least to some extent, has to play a role. Okay, that's all point number one. Again, he's speaking to one person in one stage of life, but I think it's like everything we've seen in the Sefer so far, as long as you have a little bit of a broader perspective, it's just as relevant in many ways, if not more so, to people who are at our stages of life. I don't know, because we have less time to learn, right? So we really have to be careful. If we only have an hour to learn, we only have half an hour to learn, whatever it is we have in our schedule to learn every day, and the little bit of time we can come to shul, so we really have to be careful not to give that up. But nevertheless, there's always time. There's always time we could find. Doesn't mean it's easy. People are busier now than ever before. I know that for sure. But nevertheless, there has to be some contribution, some... Yes, when you are the one who's running or volunteering or doing that, are you standing out? Does that mean you're insecure, just looking for attention? No, not necessarily. It might mean that. That's a problem. But it also could mean, no, I feel I have an achrayus. Everyone has to do something. That's all point number one. Now he says point number two. There's really three points in this, and this is really powerful. This deserves its own meditation, but I'm just going to drop the bomb on you, and then we'll go to his third point. But really, we could elaborate on this one. He says, you should know, I'm not going to hide from you. Lekached mincha, ki ben Torah alul yos ragish lekavod dafke begal ma'aluso. There's a certain risk that a ben Torah has to run after kavod, even more than other people. Dafka because he's a ben Torah. Now, what does he mean by that? Hinei b'chai olam ruchani b'meshach shenos limudo hitrachek me'mela. Not true anymore, unfortunately. Memela migasas hatayvus habarot kayom baolam yitzro lovesh gamkein itzla ruchanis chemdas hakavod hiyosa ruchanit machmat atanugim agasim. What is he saying? Something really fascinating. I'm not 100% sure if it's true about yeshiva guys, but I can give an analogy, which is actually even more true to some extent for people like us. He's saying that the more you're involved in Torah, so you're, again, maybe it was true 40 or 50 years ago, the more you're insulated from the usual taivas in the street, the more physical taivas. But that doesn't mean you don't have a yetzirah. It just means that your yetzirah will gravitate towards a more quote-unquote spiritual, abstract yetzirah. You know what's the abstract yetzirah? Kavod. Running after kavod is a yetzirah. It's not a good thing to run after kavod. Of course not. You don't need the Mishnah to tell us that drachim are kavod. We know that. But the Mishnah did tell us. But here, it's a fascinating insight. That's a spiritual type of Yetzirah as opposed to other Yetziraths which are more physical. Interesting? So ironically, or paradoxically maybe is the better word, because you're in a more spiritual environment, so it's not that your Yetzirah left you, it's now your Yetzirah is looking for quote-unquote spiritual Yetziraths. Now I don't know if this is so true anymore, even in Mei Sharim, let alone in the world that we live in. I'm not sure yeshiva guys are insulated the way they might have once upon a time claimed to be. But what I will say, again, without elaborating on it too much now, is I think this is a known thing. I heard this once from Dr. David Pelkovitz years ago. Fascinating insight, which just triggered in my memory of this. He said, we know psychologically, as a person gets older, their various drives naturally, biologically get weaker. Right? Thinking about our topic from last week, right? People are younger, right? Their hormones are raging more than as they get older. We understand that. Said Dr. Pelkovitz, it's true about a lot of things in the physical realm. Says there's one exception, again, there's always exceptions to the exceptions, but as a rule, what's the one exception? Kavod. Older people get, often the more they need kavod. The easier they're insulted that the child, the son-in-law, the daughter-in-law, the grandchild didn't call, didn't do this. Those kind of things, actually, that would, again, whatever you were when you were 20, you might be... Even more, if you care about that when you're 20, you're going to care about that when you're 60 or 70. And if you didn't care about it, but his point is, that is going as a general rule in the opposite direction. The more your body gets weak, so those yetzer haras or those tigers go down as you get older. But Adarava, he said, again, I didn't see the studies, but he was talking just not from a Torah perspective, from a psychological perspective, as a rule. So this is exactly what reminded me of it. So Rav Volbe's claiming that in yeshiva environment, it's a similar thing, because you've, so to speak, repressed a little bit the physical, so it's the spiritual yetzirahs that are coming up. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, I'm not sure. But certainly as we get older, and I would add, I don't think, it's not just, again, if Rav Volbe's talking about an 80-year-old, so maybe that, I mean, if Dr. Pelkovitz was talking about an 80-year-old, maybe that's true. But I think, in part, it's also because as we get older, right, you see more and more people, you know, the neighbor's accomplishing this, the neighbor was able to get this kind of house, the neighbor has this kind of car, the neighbor was on vacation, right? The neighbor is this kind of Rosh Hashanah, whatever the things are. Right? There's, as you get older, right, people are distinguishing themselves in all sorts of different ways. So that Yetzer Hara, and especially if you are hopefully in a happy marriage, so the Yetzer Hara for kavod and feeling approved, that can sometimes even get older, get stronger as a person gets older. Yitzro lovesh gamkein isla ruchani. Again, it's a very fascinating idea. The Yetzer Hara itself can wear spiritual clothing. Chemdas hakavod hu yosa ruchani michemdas tanugim agassim. Again, this really could deserve its own shiur. Fascinating idea. That there's a certain spiritual Yetzer Hara called running after kavod, which is different than running after good foods and other physical pleasures. Okay, very, very interesting. Okay, now let's go to the last point, which is so important, I think, especially here in Israel. It's true everywhere. So don't run after kavod, proper balance, be happy with yourself, don't be insecure. Fine, all good. Ach mitzad sheni, chayav ben Torah lahakbid al atzmo v'al hofato. Nevertheless, don't go to the other extreme and not care about yourself at all. You should, ben Torah should care about how he looks, his dress, his appearance. Quotes the Gemara, Tamachacham Shinimsa Revav al Begado, Chayav Misa, right? If you have a stained clothing, you're a Tamachacham, it's a Chil Hashem, you're Chayav Misa. Or the Gemara says, Ocha Bashuk, Pasul Eidos, the person's walking around the street eating, he's Pasul Eidos, Mikabash in a Makbid al Bizyono, Hashpalaso, Lechpat Lo, Lashakar, Lishbazo. Because again, now I'm not sure that's still true today. People walk around drinking a soda or something, I don't think that's considered undignified nowadays, but at least in the time of the Gemara, if you walked around the street eating, that was considered so undignified. It shows you don't care. If you don't care about anything, you're also not going to care about your friend's money. You might even lie. So the applications are not the important point. It's the principle. You see from these two Gemaras and many others that a sense of dignity, of being aware of one's own dignity, caring about one's own dignity, whether it's in your clothing or how you carry yourself, right? You should go stolz, right? You should have a certain sense. That's important, says Rav Albi. Next page, we'll just finish up, three more lines. And then, of course, here's the key point. Yes, a person should care about how they look, they should present themselves dignified, but not to go to the other extreme. Now, if you live in Israel, you know that this is the most intense microcosm, example of what is the microcosm of Israel, right? In the Haredi world, there's an obsession with how you look, and incredibly narrow definitions of how one has to look. But what's the alternative? Unfortunately, the rest of Israeli society didn't find a proper balance. They go to the opposite extreme. It doesn't matter at all. Now, as someone who had kids in the Dati system, this drove me crazy. As my kid, I still have kids in the system. I'll just tell a quick story, some of you will appreciate this. My son, who's now first year based medrash, but when he was in eighth grade, we were thinking about different high schools to go to. All top Dati high schools. Most of them, if you know that world, Merkaz Arab, etc., there's no such thing as a dress code. T-shirt and jeans, you can also know Baba Mitzvah by heart in T-shirt and jeans. There's certain mitzvahs to that. They don't focus on the guy, right? But it's like, I'm like, what happened to these Gemaras? I'm American. Like, I do want my son, not just wear a white shirt, but he should at least, a button-down shirt, he should be tucked in, should be something, right? There's no rules in that world. No rules for the dress. So there's one Dati Lumi school in the whole country, some of you may know, in Mitzvah Yericho, of Sabato's Yeshiva. It's unique for two things. One is it's Bekias all the time. So the kids do hundreds and hundreds of daf. But they don't do any iyun. Interesting. But the other thing is, it's the one Dati Lumi school, they're makbid on how you dress. Just for context, it's kind of like the same dress code as Ma'arava, but without the hat. But you have to wear a button-down shirt, and you can't wear socks, and you have to dress like you and I might think of as Americans, you might think of as a mensch. So I was on a plane, we're not sure which high school my son should go to. And I admit, I was attracted to Miss Beiricha from an American perspective, like, that's how I want my son to look, not to walking around in T-shirt and jeans. And I was on a plane coming to Israel with Rabbi Meir Twersky, Shlita, one of my rabbis, or Shiva at YU. And I asked him, what does he know about these high schools? Yashlat, Makor Chaim, Mitzvah Yericho. He said, I don't know anything. I said, okay, what do you think about the Bekias issue? He's a brisker, so that was interesting to talk to him about that, Gemara. But then I asked him about the clothing. And I remember, we were walking through the gate onto the plane. And he said to me, and he was not instantly happy the way he thinks the Haredim are also, says, just like you could put too much of an emphasis on clothing, but you could also put too little. Right? It may not be only one way, it might be the only thing in the world. But to say that it doesn't matter at all, That's also, I think, contradicted by human experience and by some of these Gemaras. Unfortunately, again, so there's nothing perfect. Welcome to our world. We're all trying to figure out how to find ourselves. But that's exactly what this reminds me of. You have to find, yes. Now, what every culture, every community, what counts as mechubad is different. What's mechubad in 2021 wasn't true 50 years ago, and what's true now is not necessarily true in the Middle East. And everywhere you live, what's considered mechubad is different. That should be obvious to people, even though it's not always. But the idea that there should be some sense of self-dignity and how I present myself, it does matter. Again, my current diagnosis of this country, unfortunately, Nebuch, is that very few people, I'm right and everyone else is wrong. Is that how it always goes, right? Anyone, on one direction they're all extremists, and in one case they're all a bunch of liberal, you know, and I'm the only one who found the right balance. So I know that's silly, I'm aware, but that is how I feel, what can I say? I know it's silly. But there's some kind of balance in which, you know, you could go too far, but you can also go too far on the other extreme. Anyway, he ends something. Well, let's just see. You'll dodge me for two more minutes because the last paragraph is really beautiful. Hakavod ha'amiti hu. What is true kavod? Lo ha'makom mechabed es ha'adam el adam mechabed es ha'makom, which I would understand as the externals are what bring you kavod. If you are a mechubadik, a person, you are dignified, then your presence, your existence in community X. Community X could be your family. That's a community. A family is a micro community. Or in your shul, in your school, in your neighborhood. It's not that because, oh, you see, I'm part of that crowd, I'm in that school, I'm in that this, that brings me covered. Adarabah. Ha'adam is mechabed, is covered. You, now what's the right proper covered? Ma'bat chiyuvi al kol adam. Critical sort of all be. You know what it means to be a mechubadik person? Thinking positively about other people, not about yourself. Having a positive outlook on other people and other things. Shifali ro'ad b'chol davar atasarafi. There's some people that are constantly looking to knock down. Doesn't matter what's happening, they'll find, and it could be that there really are, nothing's perfect. There's some people who, right away, they go to, what's the problem? Machle tzonis, as they say, right? That's a cynic. They see the problem in everything and the value in nothing. That's not covered. Covered is being positive about other people, about other things. Hishtadlut lahamir al kodavar mekoma onachon, have proper perspective, have proper balance, be hafrazah, without going to the extremes, without exaggerating, not going too far. Zeho gisha ufanit l'tamir chacham amiti. That's what a true Ben Torah, Talmud Chacham, mechubad person has. Ezu mechubad, as the Mishnah famously says, ha'mechabed es ha'brios. So, looking positively towards other people, not looking about yourself, but nevertheless, understanding that you have a role to play, that is the true kavod, which will bring not insecurity, jealousy, and the need to stand out, or attention seeking, but rather an inner sense of calm, peace, and self-confidence. Have a good Shabbos! Yeah.